Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until one. It is the 6th of January now, a day with many names: Little Christmas, Nullignamán, Women's Christmas, Old Christmas, the Feast of the Epiphany. It is the last day of the decorations officially, so act accordingly before the tree comes down tomorrow. Although many people who put the decorations up early will have them well gone by now, won't they? Even the needles will be hoovered away. Tap out all your thoughts on the WhatsApp. It's 087 032 32 32. For your longer letters, you can email oliver@rte.ie. Yes, everything working as it should today. Brian Dowling will be coming into us during the programme. He's doing a show on sustainability. It's called The Salvage Squad, and it's about designers on a budget creating dream spaces. I think that's lovely rooms, nice rooms. We're using upcycling and repurposing, all the buzzwords that we used to call doing up, but they're using things that are being salvaged, which is a good idea. Something I didn't know about Brian Dowling is that he's a country lad, grew up in rural Kildare and was sent out to cut the turf in the bog. That's interesting. I'll have to ask him about all that. And would you believe it's 25 years this summer since he won Big Brother, back when that was a huge thing, way, way, way back then. 51551 is the text. Lots of curiosities occurring all around the place at the moment. Football related, first of all, because Man United and Celtic are massively supported in this country. As you know, they're all over the news sites today. I'm looking at a very smiling Ruben Amorim, who was sacked yesterday afternoon. The Portuguese, he's 40 years of age, seen leaving his mansion in Cheshire with his wife after being given the boot from Old Trafford. And 14 months in charge, he is due 14 million in compensation. But it's unclear how much he will be getting. If he was sacked by November, they say 14 million. So in and around, they'll shave a little bit off. He'll be grand. And he'll be watching football from the couch like the rest of us, just getting paid to do so. Former United player Darren Fletcher, he's been drafted in as the interim manager. And it's worth noting, his family background means he could be supplying players to the Republic of Ireland, because his mum, Bridie Fletcher, and she was Bridie Gealty at one stage, is from Dua on Achill Island. Strong Mayo connections. You might say the strongest of Mayo connections, overlooking Keane Bay, site of the Banshees of Inishirin. You know Achill well. And the family, the Fletchers, are regular visitors over there. Darren Fletcher himself has been spotted around the place over the years. He was injured as a player in 2013, a bit of free time, and he went to the All-Ireland Football Final 2013 in the green and red Gansey and saw Dublin Mayo. Of course, Dublin won by a single point, so that's as authentic a Mayo experience as a fella can get, it must be said. But the footballing talent, the string of talent is running through the family, because Darren's twin sons, Jack and Tyler, they're about 18 now, they signed contracts with Man United last year. And there was a great Mayo News headline: twin sons of Man United legend and grandsons of Achill woman sign Man United contracts. And Jack already made his first team debut for United. But it gets very interesting here when it comes to their national Ganseys, the twins, the Fletchers. They've already played against each other at under 19 international level. Jack lined out for England because he was born there. But Tyler, the twin brother, went for Scotland, which is where the father grew up, and that's where he was born. But thanks to the grandparent rule and to Bridie from Achill, they would be eligible for the Republic of Ireland, as things get very exciting for us. So we'll be asking what will happen there. So it's all about Mayo when it comes to Man United's interim manager, Darren Fletcher. Meanwhile, Wilfried Nancy has been sacked as Celtic's manager after 33 days in charge. This is how things go. They lost 3-1 to Rangers at the weekend, and it was the sixth defeat in eight games. Martin O'Neill, another Irishman, he was actually replaced by Wilfried Nancy because he was interim manager for a bit last year. He's returning again for a second interim stint until a new permanent coach is found. O'Neill's run, by the way, he won 7 out of the 8 games that he was in charge as interim manager. Nancy had signed a 2.5-year contract on the 4th of December. It's not the 6th of January, the 5th of January. But they're looking for the third permanent manager of the one season, which is incredible. Nancy, we should be calling him Nancy because he's French, is the shortest of any other manager in the club's history, permanent that is. Celtic superfan Rod Stewart has been giving his reaction to the latest manager's removal or departure, whatever way you want to put it.
He's gone! He is gone! Wilfred Nancy has been fired or he left, I don't care. He's just not at Celtic. Now, we face Dundee at the weekend. I'm going to be up there for this game, mate, don't you worry. We need Martin back. We need you back, Martin O'Neill, to get us through the end of the season and maybe we could get Robbie Keane. That would be heaven sent. Right now, I'm going down the pub to celebrate.
Just down the pub. It's a pity he recorded it using a toaster or something. In a large bathroom, whatever he was doing, and then sent it to us on AM. Thanks for that, Rod Stewart. Robbie Keane he's talking about there. Well, he's in Hungary coaching at the moment, as we know, and but he played a season on loan to Celtic. No other details, but he now knows that Martin O'Neill is back there. Martin was the permanent manager for 5 years until 2005, so that's 21 years ago, and he's returning now at the age of 72 for the second interim stint. It's all about the Owlfellas, isn't it? Rod Stewart, he's in his 80s at this stage. He doesn't sound it, does he? He doesn't. It's still performing away. Now, what is this I see? Group claims ballroom at Trump's Doonbeg Resort must wait until rare snail starts to prosper. What are these words out of the Examiner today? Well, first of all, let's go back to the other ballroom, the White House ballroom, because over the weekend we heard how plans are progressing there on his Christmas holidays. Trump called into Ark Stone and Tile Shop. This is real. This is real life. To have a look at some marbles that could be used in the building. It's now a 90,000 square foot ballroom on the White House to accommodate 1,000 people. It was a quarter of that size when it began. It was also going to cost $200 million. Now it's $400 million. People are donating to get access to the White House. It's mad. And they've demolished the East Wing, of course, which has surprised historians and the US National Trust. Huge things. He can do anything, this man. He's got a Supreme Court pardon to do whatever the hell he wants. He can invade countries, steal their presidents. But one thing he can't do is build in Ireland. Trump is making moves to build a grand ballroom at his Doonbeg Resort. And the big point for him that's going to maybe upset the whole thing is the Vertigo Angustier, a rare snail that was also causing problems for the planning of the original building of the resort. So the grand ballroom, they're calling it, and plans for golf course improvements were sent into Clare County Council just before Christmas, but the snail returned because Friends of the Irish Environment said the original planning permission for the golf club was settled through an order of the court that ensured any development would be bound by the objective of maintaining favourable conservation status of the Vertigo snail. It's a dizzy snail, I presume. I'm not sure why it's called that. And so the Friends of the Environment, Irish Environment, are saying that the ballroom, drainage, lagoons and site changes will have no adverse effect according to the developer, but that is not as what is required. They're pointing at the court order. So there you go. He can sooner invade Greenland, attacking Denmark in the process, an EU member, a NATO ally of the US, than build something in Ireland's catatonic planning regime, essentially. Now, the US chat shows, by the way, returned from their holidays overnight. The TV shows that hate Trump the most, really, reacting to Operation Absolute Resolve, which was the shock and awe military mission. Incredibly impressive, it has to be said, isn't it? And very successful, because Maduro knew what was coming, but somehow the CIA team got in, swooped in and removed him amid his security. The president of Venezuela, and charged him with drugs offences. Confusingly, they are the same sort of narco crimes that Trump recently pardoned quite a few people. The former president of Honduras freed him from a 45-year jail term for helping to smuggle 400 tons of cocaine into America. He pardoned a dark web figure who was serving a life sentence for weapons and drugs trade online. A Chicago gang leader was serving multiple life sentences for drug trafficking. He got clemency. And an El Salvador drug importer sent back home after his release from prison. All pardoned or given clemency in just the last year. So the kind of ironies and the open admission now that the Venezuelan mission is all about oil. After all the attempts to kind of justify the Iraq invasion for this, that, and seeking a UN resolution, which they failed, and talking about law and order and coalitions of the willing. Nah, it's just the oil. That's it. That kind of naked ambition has been great fodder for the return of these talk shows. Stephen Colbert has been looking at the future for the Latin American country now that the White House says they're in charge.
So now that the president of Venezuela has been renditioned to the Gowanus Expressway, everyone's got one question.
Who will run Venezuela?
Who will run the country?
So who is going to run Venezuela?
Well, we still don't know for sure, but chances are it's going to come down to either Paramount or Netflix. All right? A lot of money on the line. A lot of money on the line. I'm happy with either one. I got no dog in this fight. Of course, Trump has his plan.
We're going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition.
Oh, so this country and Venezuela? Evidently, when he says America first, he means alphabetically. That's crazy. He can't run two countries at once. He can't even run.
It is true. We've never seen him try. Even his golfing involves as little walking as possible, or waddling might be the more accurate term. I also like his judicious pronunciation. Maybe it's nulling the man in Mar-a-Lago as well, where Melania is doing the cooking and Trump is going to judicious. Something like that. There was also similar fun summing up his truly madly creepy start of the new year from the Jimmys Fallon, Kimmel and Jon Stewart. Let's have a listen to the roundup overnight.
Yep, the news took everyone by surprise. When I heard there was an operation to extract a president, I just assumed Trump got stuck in his tanning bed.
little help.
Yeah, it turns out Trump's New Year's resolution was to distract everyone from the Epstein files.
So Trump has made it clear, if his puppet doesn't do what he wants, he'll install a new puppet. So what's he want?
We're going to take back the oil. We'll be selling oil. Oil. They stole our oil.
Wow. That was really poor planning for someone to put our oil under Venezuela. That's so inconvenient.
Trump decided Maduro had to go. And yes, he's a criminal and a dictator who's driven his country into financial ruin while he and his family have lined their own pockets. But Maduro is no saint either. Thank you.
Now I'm talking about the now former president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, who was reverse iced and imported. He was actually imported to a jail in Brooklyn.
That's my favorite one. He was reverse iced. You just have to laugh to cope. That's Jon Stewart there ending that roundup. Some of the shows, by the way, there are due to end in the coming months thanks to pressure from the White House as the various media companies buy and sell each other, with the future of cinemas on the line as well. No wonder we live on the edge of edginess. We're snappy and prone to snap at the moment. What's happening in the text here? 087-032-32-32 is the WhatsApp. Many of us will be keeping the Christmas tree up and lit until the end of January. It helps to keep people's spirits up during the dark days. That's from Dave in Dublin. That's a legacy from lockdowns and so on, isn't it? But I do know on the church calendar, officially you can call it Christmas all the way to about the 2nd of February, which is Candlemas. So you can stretch it out and you have judicious official allowance for that, Dave. Trump, a lot of chatter online, and it's not a ballroom in the White House, but a new data centre. Unhackable and so on. You don't need to hack them. They're telling us everything they're doing. They're going to invade Greenland and allow China to do whatever it wants everywhere. And some nulling them on. In fact, are you even sick of hearing about Happy New Year yet? Who's sick of that at the moment? When is the actual cutoff of hearing or saying Happy New Year? Because you haven't seen someone for a while. You just feel... One man with a very strong view of this is Mr. Larry David.
Happy New Year!
It's a little late, frankly, for the Happy New Year's, you know?
Why? Just happened a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, that's too long. Statute of limitations has kind of run out on the New Year's. 3 days. Plenty.
3 days?
By the way, everything doesn't have to be happy. Why does everything have to be happy?
I'm having a pretty good day.
3 days, that's the Curb Your Enthusiasm rule. It's a bit stingy, I think. You have to kind of allow up to the first main working day back. It was 5 days this year, 5th of January. It'll be 4th of January next year, the first Monday back. And today's Nullag Naman Hunadich. So then tomorrow's just January. So there'll be no happy anything, like Larry said. Happy Bridget's Day? It's not a thing. You might as well wish someone a happy Blue Monday to mark the gloomiest day of the year. And even St. Patrick's Day, is that a, do you say happy there? There's no reason to say happy Patrick's Day, is there? It's a day of hailstones and inappropriate humor on the back of tractor trailers going down the main streets of medium-sized towns. That's what that's for. You don't have to be happy about anything. But if you are celebrating Nullag na Mann around the place today and tonight, do let us know what you're planning, because our reporter Brenda Donoghue has gone down at dawn to East Cork to mark the day with some Manaw. And we'll be hearing from her later on. 51551 is the text. Someone's already on to us. This is in Cork, in fact. My friends and I have been celebrating Nullag na Mann for many years. We gather in one person's house and each brings a dish, saving the host work. So a shout out to Isolde, Jane, Helen, Bernie, Gloria, Ethna and Fionnuala, who can't be with us tonight. So Banachty, Nullag na Mann, says Mary, Deneen and Cork. Have a wonderful day. Much to do today. 51551 is the text, but it's all about the fine Irish women today. No better way to usher the discussion with the voice of a generation.